It's remarkable how Nehemiah was so clear, so certain about God's purpose. He knew for sure what God had called him to do. And many of us would like to have the same clarity and conviction. Well, we have to understand that this was possible for Nehemiah because God had placed a burden in his heart. Nehemiah recognized this, and it demanded his attention and his obedience. As we think about God's mission for the church, for our church, we must prepare ourselves to carry a similar burden. Doing this will not be comfortable. A burden is by definition a weight, and a spiritual burden can often be very heavy to bear. Nehemiah was so weighed down by what God had laid upon his heart that it affected his mood, his demeanor, his countenance, so much so that his heaviness of heart was observed by King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah had never before been sad in the king's presence. Standing before the king, one was expected to put on a smile. And yet here, on this occasion, Nehemiah was sad, troubled in his heart because of the state of Jerusalem, her walls and gates broken down and burned with fire. His sadness was plain to see, and the king observed it. And so the king asked Nehemiah, "Why is your face sad, seeing that you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." And Nehemiah was very much afraid. Not merely afraid, but very much afraid. He was extremely fearful because he knew that he was at risk of experiencing the wrath of the king. What Nehemiah was doing could cost him not only his career as the king's cupbearer, it could cost him his life. And yet the fear of man didn't distract Nehemiah from what God had laid upon his heart. The fear of man didn't keep Nehemiah from obeying God. In spite of his fear of the king's displeasure, Nehemiah spoke boldly and honestly. "Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Now, there was no guarantee that the king would have any concern for the state of Jerusalem. Perhaps surprisingly, but certainly perceptively, the king asked, "What are you requesting?" The king understood that Nehemiah was making a plea, even if he had not done so explicitly. And Nehemiah seized the opportunity, but not without prayer. In that moment, seeing that God had opened a door for him to make his request known, Nehemiah prayed. For favor, perhaps? Mercy? Protection? We don't know what exactly Nehemiah prayed for in that moment, but it's clear that he understood this point. Unless God is at work, I will speak and act in vain. Having prayed, Nehemiah asked for a leave of absence in order to rebuild Jerusalem. Nehemiah was effectively asking for approval to prioritize God's work above the king's work. And this was a very bold request. And God granted Nehemiah favor. The king not only gave him permission to go, he also agreed to prepare letters of royal endorsement to secure him safe passage and to provide the supplies necessary for the task. Nehemiah recognized that God was at work, and he said, "The king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me." Even as our hearts rejoice at this positive outcome, we mustn't forget that it came at a cost to Nehemiah. It was anything but easy. If Nehemiah had not struggled with the weight of the burden that God had placed in his heart, if he had not taken extraordinary risks in order to see God's will be done, the story would be very different. to fulfill God's mission and purpose, both for himself and for his people, Nehemiah had to carry a burden from the Lord, one that weighed very heavily on his heart, for which he was ready to pay an extremely high price. This was integral to the fulfillment of God's mission. And the question is, do we have a similar passion for God's purpose? We might wish that fulfillment could come more easily, more comfortably. We often seek out the path of least resistance. But God's mission is seldom achieved without sacrifice. Look in the pages of Scripture, which of God's servants had it easy? Not one. Even today, the Lord looks for Nehemiahs, men and women who are willing to pay a price to stand in a gap on behalf of God's people, men and women who are willing to carry a burden for his work, his mission. What is God's mission for us in this season? What does it mean for us to rebuild, figuratively, of course, the walls of Jerusalem? We can regard the city walls as a symbol, a representation of our relationship with God. God allowed Jerusalem to be conquered by the Babylonians because his people had turned away from him. The fall of the city was the result of Judah's unfaithfulness. They had turned their backs on the covenant. They had gone their own way. They had forsaken God. In Matthew 24, Jesus prophesied that as a result of the wickedness of God's people, Jerusalem would once again fall. And this time it would happen at the hands of the Romans. In our context, the walls of Jerusalem as a symbol of our relationship with God may also have been broken down as a result of our unfaithfulness. We may have neglected God, gone our own way, sought to live independently of him. We may have enthroned ourselves as the Lord of our lives. In the book of Nehemiah, the call to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem was a call for God's people to return to him. And likewise, God is calling us to attend to our broken walls, to return to him, to return to covenantal loyalty, to cultivate our relationship with him and experience a deeper life in Christ. In order to go deeper, we have to go beyond the surface. External acts of piety aren't enough. In the coming weeks, we will reflect on some of these outward expressions of our faith, and they are certainly important. But God looks beyond external acts. He looks at our hearts. Are our hearts wholly committed to him? Or have we given our hearts to other gods, idols that we worship in place of him? External piety is only esteemed by God when it flows from a heart that is devoted to him. Many of us may have strayed away from God even while maintaining our religious commitments, such as attending church services, joining Connect Group meetings, reading our Bibles, serving actively in ministry. Now, don't get me wrong, these are all good things. But if our hearts are far from God, these practices won't bring him pleasure. We see in Scripture that God often rebuked his people for the poverty of their worship because they had performed their religious rituals without genuine love for him. Our works are acceptable to God only if our hearts are right before him. To experience a deeper life in Christ, therefore, involves what we might call heart surgery. We must allow God to work in our hearts in order to bring about internal transformation. The work that God desires to do in us may go far deeper than we realize. In his book, Mere Christianity, author C.S. Lewis uses the idea of rebuilding a house to describe this internal work of God. Because of the common theme of rebuilding, I find it appropriate to quote him here, and he writes, "Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he is doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. He's throwing out a new wing here, he's putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself." I would like to take this idea even further. God doesn't only want to do this in us as individuals. He wants to do this in us as a community. And the size of a palace captures to some extent the scope of God's intended work in his church. This isn't just about me or you singular. It's about us, the people of God. After all, in the New Testament, God's people are collectively described as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the place where God chooses to dwell. God wants to build us into a palace to be his chosen dwelling place. He wants to make his home with us. The image of a home reinforces the point that what God seeks is internal transformation. Just as we wouldn't want to live in a house that's beautiful on the outside, but ugly on the inside, God wants to renew us from within, transforming us from the inside out. This glimpse of what God desires to do in us as his church, as his temple, as his home, should fill our hearts with awe and wonder. God wants to bring us deeper with him. He wants to be real in our lives. He wants to transform who we are and what we do. He wants us to be aware that he is always present and always at work. And this reality ought to shape every area of our lives, our work, our studies, our family time, our interaction with others, our leisure, all of it. To experience this deeper life, we have to spend time in God's presence, seeking his face, meditating on his word. We have to constantly ask him, what do you want to do? What do you want to change? What do you want to build in my life? Every aspect of our lives should be a place where the presence of God is evident, not only to us, but also to those around us. When the walls have been rebuilt, people will see that God is truly with us. Let us now return to Nehemiah's example. My friends, are we willing? Are we willing to carry a burden in order to see God's purpose fulfilled in our church? Are we willing to risk life and limb, to put on the line things that are precious to us, in order that God can work in and through us for the sake of his glory? Our desire for the walls to be rebuilt should so consume us that we are burdened and troubled just as Nehemiah was? Will we be passionate for God's purpose? Will we weep and mourn? Will we fast and pray for our church? Will we cry out for more of God, for a deeper experience of Him? I pray that we will offer ourselves to God in these ways so that He can use us as He used Nehemiah. Some of you might be thinking, this sounds like a job for the pastor. And yes, pastors certainly ought to embrace this calling and carry this burden, perhaps more so than others. But we should note that Nehemiah was in fact a lay person. He was neither a prophet nor a priest. In modern terms, he wasn't a full-time church worker. He had a so-called secular job in a pagan court. And yet God called him and used him. My friends, God is calling us. God wants to use us, every single one of us. How will you respond? I pray that you will find in our community many who are ready to give themselves wholeheartedly and unreservedly to the work of rebuilding the walls. Let us pray. Lord, bring us deeper in our relationship with You. Set our hearts on fire with a greater love for You, so that all we are and all we do will bring You much pleasure and praise. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.